Good morning, everyone. We're very glad to see you at morning worship this Sabbath day. We appreciate your presence, the opportunity for us to fellowship together in the Lord's house and around His Word. Let me just read to you one verse about the Lord Jesus. It says in Luke chapter 2, the verse 40, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." That final statement especially will emphasize too, we want to think today in our Bible study about the grace of God, especially those of us that know the Lord, the grace of God in our lives. We want to be like Christ in this regard. May the grace of God be upon our lives and testimonies as well. We're singing together the words of the first psalm as we commence our worship this Sabbath morning. "That man hath perfect blessedness who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way." The first psalm, please, and we'll stand together as we sing. His blessing to rest upon the service this morning. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne, conscious, Father, of the matchless privilege that's afforded to us, that we're able to enter into your presence, that we're able to approach the throne of heavenly grace. We come, Father, not in our own name or our own merit, but we come entirely in the name and the merit of the Lord Jesus. We want to pray, Father, that we'll be conscious that the Lord is with us today. We plead from the very beginning of this meeting that the Lord's presence will be known and sensed in this house. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll do for us what you did in the temple in the days of Solomon. Come and fill this house today with your presence and with your glory. We're pleading, Father, that we would know a visitation of God upon our meetings today. We plead for a visitation of God to be upon this church and upon its ministry. We ask, Father, that you would presence yourself with us in this meeting this morning in such a powerful manner that everyone that is gathered here, whether saved or unsaved, that they would know the Lord is with us, that they would be conscious of the fact that the Lord has come amongst his people today, and that this house is a veritable Bethel, the very house of God, the very gate of heaven. Thank you, Father, for all that are gathered here today. We want to praise thee for enabling us to be at this meeting. Thank you for health, both soundness of body and mind, Father, that has brought us along to this meeting, that enables us to be here. We're conscious that all of these blessings come from your hand. Thank you for your bounty towards us. Lord, we would be mindful of many in the congregation that are not able to be here today just because of sickness and infirmity. We want to pray, Father, that they especially would know the Lord to be near. And we want to pray that your hand would be upon them, giving grace and strength. And Lord, if it please thee, if it might be your will, to give to them a healing touch, just from thyself in these days. We want to pray for the senior members of our congregation. Lord, we pray that you'll help us ever to be mindful of them. Those, Father, that have been very faithful in the support of this congregation in serving the Lord here through the ministries of this church for many years. But now, because of age, are no longer able to be with us. Lord, we pray be near to them. We think of some that are able to watch these services on the live stream. We want to pray, Father, that the meetings in that manner will be a help and an encouragement, a blessing to them, a time of refreshment, a time even for them to still identify with the work and with the testimony of this congregation. Bless them in their own homes today. Remember their families too. Lord, we lift all of our families up before thee. We pray for a greater concern for the spiritual well-being of our families. Lord, those that are out of Christ. Lord, we ask that above all else that you'll enable us to do what we can to win our loved ones to Christ, to have that great blessing of household salvation. Oh God, what a mercy, what a blessing it would be on that day when we stand before thee, if we're able to say, here am I and the children which thou hast given me. So we're pleading, Father, for all the families, all the children of this church, all the young people. We ask the Lord in your mercy to save them, bring them all to Christ. We pray that there'd not be one of our family members that would be lost, that would perish for all eternity. Speak, Father, even today. We thank you for the Sabbath school and Bible classes. We praise thee for all that were present. We thank, Father, of all of these little ones, like Timothy, from a child have known the Holy Scriptures, that are able to make them wise unto salvation. O God, save all of these children and young people. Bless the labours of all of our Sunday school teachers and Bible class teachers, the superintendent. Encourage their hearts. Send others, Father. Oh, we're conscious of the need of our land, Father, in this day. We're conscious of so many children that will not be at Sunday school or a church service today. No influence of the things of God upon their lives. Not been taught the word of God from their earliest days. Lord, we're concerned about that. We ask, bless the ministry of this church among the youth, even of this community and of this city. And Lord, we ask thee to remember all the meetings through this week, the gospel service tonight. Bring in the lost. Oh God, we ask thee, you've said we have not because we ask not. Bring in the lost, we pray. Remember the outreach that was carried out just before Easter. All the invitations, Lord, may it bear fruit.
We plead that others will come into the meetings. There will be those that will read that literature, and it will be the means of bringing them to Christ in salvation. We ask you, Lord, to remember the ladies as they will meet tomorrow night, and our sister that will come to speak to them. Remember all the students at this time, especially as the exam season approaches. Give them strength and wisdom. But bless the ladies, Father, be amongst them. We ask you to remember the new committee as it meets on Tuesday evening. Lord, may you be in the midst. We ask that the committee would know the help of God. We pray for the direction to be granted. We want, Father, to commit that committee and its work into your hands, praying that you'll direct their paths. Pray that the blessing of God will rest upon the committee from its very first meeting. Remember Wednesday night and our brother that will come to speak and report on the ministry been given to the folk in Ukraine just at this very needy time. Use our brother, bring him here in safety. Lord, we pray that you'll enable us to do what we can just to be of help and support to those dear folk in their great extremity. Even in these days, touch our hearts. Intervene, Father, we pray in that war. We want to pray that very soon it will be brought to an end. We ask thee to defend the Ukrainians, even in these days, against the evil attacks that have been brought upon them. Remember, Father, the media ministry of this church too, even the live stream, so many listen into these services, both here in our own land and in other lands, Father, across the earth. But we thank you for the extension of the ministry here. We pray it will be the means of winning souls, the means, Father, of blessing and reviving others, building them up in the things of God. Bless, Father, even the recordings that go out, the CDs and DVDs. We pray that they will be a blessing even to members of the congregation that are not able to be present with us. Lord, hear our prayers. We ask of thee. We do remember our brother Adrian today, especially as he goes for his surgery at the end of this week. We commit him into your hands, praying that the good hand of God will be upon that operation and all that are responsible for it. We pray, Father, that it will be a complete success and that our brother will have a speedy and a full recovery from it. We ask thee to remember again the Carson family just at this time. Lord, do be near to them. Sustain them, we ask. We remember Mrs. Carson especially. Thank you, Father, for the assurance that you never leave us nor forsake us. We ask that our sister would be conscious just of the nearness of the Lord, even in these days. We're mindful of our sister Heather Gardner too. Put your hand upon her. We pray that she'll know the healing touch of the Lord. Remember young Matthew as well, following his treatment just in recent days. Thank you for the strength that you've given to him, for your hand that has been upon him already. We pray that that might continue. And Lord, we're mindful of all just that are unwell in our congregation and those that have been through procedures and operations, asking that each one, Lord, that they'll know thee coming and meeting them at this time, at the very point of their need. So answer our prayers and abide with us. And we plead, Father, for the Spirit of God to come down upon our lives and upon this meeting now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 406, please. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness say, and more of his love who died for me. Hymn 406, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Thank you.
Scriptures, please. Returning to 2 Timothy and the second chapter. The New Testament Scriptures. Paul's second letter to Timothy. We're beginning to read at the first verse. And we're going to read the first 13 verses of this portion. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the verse 1. Let us hear God's word. May it speak to our hearts this Sabbath day. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So we're closing our reading just there. The end of the 13th verse, we're sure the Lord will add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. We're thankful for your presence with us. We do thank you for coming along to the service. It is a holiday time. There's still some that are away on vacation, enjoying the opportunity just for a break. We want to be mindful of those folk and our prayers as well, that the Lord will watch over them. But we're very thankful to all that have gathered with us. We're glad to see a goodly number gathered this Sabbath morning. We do appreciate your presence, and our prayer is that you will know that the Lord is present with us, and that you'll be blessed especially through the ministry of his word. And we do take a moment just to welcome all that are watching on the live stream. We're glad that you have been able to join us. Pray that you'll be blessed. And we want to welcome to our meeting too all that are visiting with us. It's always an encouragement to us to have visitors come along to our services.
Remember, please, the service tonight. There is the prayer meeting at 6 o'clock downstairs in the church hall. We emphasize that, the importance of it. We encourage you to come. We would be glad of your fellowship and your prayers. The gospel service itself at 6:30. I hope to be preaching myself. We've been thinking on some of these Sunday evenings about the subject of God himself. No greater subject. Remember, the Bible is a revelation, especially a revelation of God. We need to have a desire to know more of the Lord, a pursuit after God. We were thinking the last evening about some of the names of God, some of the most prominent names. So this evening we want to think of what is God like. So we encourage you to come along. That'll be the first part. In the will of the Lord, next Sabbath evening we'll bring a further part of that message, a further development of it. So what is God like is the subject this evening. Remember, tomorrow, 10 o'clock in the morning, is the parent and toddler group downstairs in the church hall. Please make that known and encourage all the parents with little ones to come along. Tomorrow evening at 8 is the ladies' meeting. Another one of the students in the Whitfield College will be coming along to speak, Miss Sharon Van Harberden. Sharon is from Canada, over studying in the Whitfield. This is her first year, so she'll be giving a word of testimony, telling the ladies a little bit about herself, her background, and how the Lord led her to the Whitfield College and what her burden is for the future. She'll bring a little message as well from the Word of God. So encourage all of the ladies to come along. Encourage Sharon too with your presence. Make that known to others. Remember, the meeting is always open to ladies outside the congregation. Just to make you aware that also tomorrow evening is the elders' training session for the newly elected elders. So our newly elected elders will be going along to that training session along with some others from a number of the congregations. So do please pray for that session that will take place in the brethren as they attend it. Tuesday evening at 7:30 is the next meeting of the church committee, the first meeting of the newly elected church committee. So that will take place downstairs in the church hall. Wednesday night at 8 is our midweek service, our prayer meeting and Bible study. It will be a missionary deputation. The speaker will be our brother, Mr. Donald Fleming. Donald represents the Faith in Action Ministry. He'll be reporting or giving us an update on the work that they do as they support some of the churches in Ukraine. Remember that quite a percentage of the funds that was raised by the Mission Board last year for Ukraine was sent out through our brother Donald to help the Christians and the churches there. There was a very good response to that appeal. So it'll be good for us just at this stage to have him along to give us an update on the circumstances and what's taking place in Ukraine. So remember that meeting. We encourage you to come. Please make it known. There will be a missionary offering that will be taken at the close of the meeting, and that will go to our brother's ministry, the Faith in Action ministry. So keep that in mind, please. Next Lord's Day, the 23rd of April, 10:40 is the Sunday School and Bible classes, the morning meeting 11:30, and 6:30 is the Gospel service. In the will of the Lord, next Sunday night, there will be a special aspect to the Gospel service. We're planning to make a presentation to our brother, Mr. Norman Kerr, our senior elder. We did announce to the congregation some weeks back that the session had appointed Norman as an elder emeritus, so we would like to recognise that. We've spoken to Norman about it. Do pray that our brother will be strong enough and well enough to come along to the service. He's keen to do that. So we do want to make a presentation just to acknowledge his many years of faithful service to the congregation here. And it would be very nice for it to be done publicly in one of the church services. So keep that meeting in mind. We encourage you to be here. Remember that it would encourage him to have a good number present for that service. So we do encourage as many as possible to come along to that meeting next Sunday night. And there will be a half hour of prayer that will take place before both of the services. So please keep that in mind. Remember that the Reverend Parks' new book, 100 Days After Lockdown. Remember that a couple of years ago he published the book 100 Days During Lockdown or In Lockdown. So this is the sequel to that, 100 Days After Lockdown. There's copies available in the church today. It costs £10, £10 each. So the proceeds are going to help and support and to educate poor children in Asia through the work of the Mission Board. That's a work that's especially close to the Reverend Park's heart. So please keep the book in mind. You might like one for yourself, or you might like to buy one and give it to someone else. So there's copies there, and there's a sheet in the porch as well that you can put your name down and indicate if you've taken a book or books, and when you've paid for the book or books that you've taken. So please keep that in mind. Monday week, Monday the 24th at 7:30 is the next meeting of the Kirk session of the church. Just to emphasise that to the brethren this morning, to remind them of that meeting. Do please remember Brother Adrian as he goes for his operation down to Musgrave on Friday, just for that surgery upon his back. Pray that the Lord's hand will be upon the operation, upon all that takes place. It will be a success, and the Lord will give him a speedy recovery from it. Do continue to remember, we know that you have been doing so, but continue to remember Mrs. Carson. She is very weak, and pray for the family as well, that they'll know the Lord's presence and the Lord sustaining them just through these difficult and demanding days. Just remind you of some matters relating to the missionary work. Keep the gardeners in mind. We're glad that you had a good meeting, encouraged by our brother's visit with you last Sunday morning. Our brother's preaching today in Limavady and then in Macrofelt. So pray that the Lord's hand will be upon them. And the remainder of their time, already maybe slightly over the halfway mark of their visit, time goes past so quickly. Remember the work team in Uganda. They worked very hard. They were able to get everything completed that was on the programme of works. They were long days, and they worked very well together. In the will of the Lord, they'll be home tomorrow. They're taking part in some of the services today, the outreaches in the prison and so forth, coming home tomorrow. The Baxters are due home tomorrow as well. So it'll be quite a change for Miss McAfee after having all of those visitors. The Baxters have been there for 7 Lord's days. So that has gone past very, very quickly as well. Next Monday, there's a construction company coming to start to build a new toilet and shower block because of the increased numbers of children and staff, and the fact that some of the toilet facilities and shower facilities are no longer adequate. There's a need for some new facilities. That has been planned and discussed by the board through the Ugandan subcommittee for some time. So they've decided to ask a local firm to do that work. It'll take about 2 months. They'll be coming this week to make some preparations, but in the will of the Lord, that will start next Monday morning. So pray that the Lord will prosper that building project as well. Can I ask just the members of session that are here this morning to wait briefly afterwards, including the newly elected elders, if we could meet just for a few minutes in the minister's room after the service, that would be much appreciated. 323, please. The hymn 323. The page is 307. It is John Newton's great hymn of testimony that's so familiar to us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Our prayers that you might experience the grace of God and salvation in your life today, if that has never taken place before. So 323, please. We'll stand and we'll sing together The first four verses and then the final. So verses 1 to 4, we'll leave out 5 and 6, and then we'll sing verse 7 when we've been there 10,000 years. Father, we want to acknowledge the help and blessing that we've known already, the presence of God that we've sensed in this meeting. We want to thank you from the depth of our hearts for your amazing grace that reached down and saved our souls. We thank you, Father, for all in this meeting that have experienced thy salvation, those that can say and give testimony to the saving grace of God in their life. But Lord, we want to pray for those that are still out of Christ, those that have no hope for eternity. We ask that you would speak even by your Spirit and through your word today. We're pleading, Father, that souls will be saved to your praise and glory in this house, through these meetings this day. We pray that there'll be rejoicing in heaven among the angels over one sinner that repents through the meetings held here in Armagh Free Church this day. Lord, we ask thee to remember even our land at this time. We plead for a turning of the tide. We ask thee to revive us again. O God, we acknowledge freely we're in great need of revival. May the breath of your Spirit come upon our lives and through these meetings. We remember, Father, even the weather that has been upon our land in recent days. We ask, Father, that you be mindful of the farmers and the work to be done at this season of the year. We pray for a dry spell, a dry period. We remember the promise that while the earth remains, there would be seed time and there would be harvest. And Lord, we claim that and we're confident of it. And we bring that matter before thee and plead it today, plead that promise before the throne of grace. And Lord, as the seed of your word is sown, we cry too for the harvest. You've assured us that if we go forth rejoicing, bearing precious seed, that will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Hear these our prayers. Lord, come upon us. We need the touch of God now upon the lips of the preacher and upon all the hearts of all that hear and receive the word of God today. We ask that you'll grant that to us, we plead in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, please.
The first verse.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So it's the words, especially at the end of that verse, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The theme of our Bible study this morning is the grace of God in the life of the Christian. If I could remind you that we believe in what are generally known or termed the doctrines of grace. Sometimes they're described as Calvinism. In other words, what that means is we believe that the Bible teaches that salvation is by grace. It's all of grace. Not of works, not of human effort or human merit. Salvation is by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ. Can I remind you of what grace is? Grace is God giving to you something that you did not deserve. There's not one of us, not one person ever in the history of this world, past or future, that will deserve the grace of God or will deserve his forgiveness and his salvation. You remember the story of the man that was in the dock and he was condemned to death, and some of the family were pleading for him and pleading for mercy, and the judge said in reply, he doesn't deserve mercy. And the response, the very good response of the family was, if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. And how true that is, men and women. God has given to us in salvation something that not one of us ever deserved. Salvation by grace. May that be a theme that you ponder today. May it be a theme that comes with freshness to your hearts. It is a sad thing, if I can emphasize it to you, that few Christians display grace in their lives. Sometimes very few Christians display grace in their behaviour. That's an indication, if I could put it to you like this, that you think they weren't saved at all. Those that have been recipients of God's grace, and yet they do not display that grace by the way that they live. Often it is true that those who speak the strongest, those that speak the loudest about the doctrines of grace, they can be the people that have the least grace in their own life, are not very gracious at all in the way they conduct themselves. That's something that's sad, brethren and sisters. And I emphasize, it's something that's wrong. It ought not to be the case. It is a mistake that we are finished with grace once we get saved. That's a mistake that many Christians make. That's a wrong outlook that many Christians have. They think once you get saved and you've trusted Christ and you've experienced His grace at salvation, you've nothing more to do with it. Well, that's wrong. And I put it this way, I put it as strongly as this, is dreadfully wrong for us to think like that. The truth is, we're not just converted by grace, but as Christians, we should be characterized by the grace of God in our lives every day that we live. Grace should be one of the marks, the clearest marks of the child of God. If you have received God's grace, if that's something you testify and tell others about, well, it should be evident in your behaviour. It shouldn't just be something that people know about when you talk about it. It's something that should be evident in your walk, in your behaviour, day by day. So just ponder for a moment the question, is that the case? Is it so? Telling others about salvation by grace in Christ, that is vital. That's the message the world needs to hear. We want to declare it, even in these meetings today, to the unsaved that are amongst us. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not saved by your own efforts. You're saved entirely because of God's grace. Salvation is all of God, what he has done for us. It's vital to declare that message, men and women, but it's a must that you display some of that grace in your life. And I want you for a few minutes to consider, do you do that? Is that something that is evident to others that meet with you day by day? I emphasize it again. We're not just converted by grace, but as Christians, if we're truly converted, genuinely saved, then we should be characterized by the grace of God as well. And I want to mention some of the characteristics of grace that should be evident in the life of the Christian. Let me emphasize, first of all, that you should be strong in grace. That's what Paul is teaching us here. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, the second part of the verse, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in grace, brethren and sisters. There is a saying you often hear, maybe not so much in these days. When talking about a Christian, some would say there's a lot of the grace of God about that person. That's a nice testimony. What that means is they're strong in grace. It's just what Paul's talking about here. And that's what the Lord wants, brethren and sisters. That's what's being encouraged here. That's what Paul's encouraging with young Timothy. There should be a lot of the grace of God in our lives. The sad thing is, often it's the opposite. We're weak, or there's little of God's grace in the life that we live. I want you to know that's not the will of God for his children. If something is strong, it means that there's plenty of it. If somebody's strong in character, then they have plenty of character. And as a Christian, you should be strong in grace. There should be plenty. There should be an abundance of God's grace in your life. We sometimes talk about our strengths, or we're pointing out the strengths in somebody else's life and character. Well, grace, brethren and sisters, the grace of God, that should be one of our strengths as the children of God, as those who are the people of God. It's a sad thing, but often our strengths are things like jealousy. Those sort of sins are the things that we're strongest in. Jealousy, criticism, a bad temper. But what we ought to be strong in is the grace of God. It might be true today that you're strong financially, in a strong position financially. That's good. The Lord bless you. It might be so that you're in a strong position physically. You're in good health. You have a strong body. That's a great thing. Something we should acknowledge and thank the Lord for. But what, brethren and sisters, about you spiritually? Are you strong spiritually? You know the reality that sometimes being strong physically is a hindrance in the Christian life. Sometimes a strong body can be a hindrance to us in our Christian maturity, developing, deepening our Christian maturity. The reason for that is when you're strong physically, your trust is in yourself. You don't recognize as much that you need to trust the Lord, that you need to lean on him. Remember Peter, when he boasted in the eve of the crucifixion, though all men forsake thee, yet will I not forsake thee. Peter was boasting there in his own strength, and that's the reason why he failed so miserably. That's the reason why he denied the Lord so dreadfully. Sometimes physical strength can be a hindrance to us in the Christian life. You think of the question, how does God make us strong in grace? Well, sometimes what he does is he weakens us physically. He brings sickness. He allows sickness. He allows trial and affliction to come into our lives. Remember what Paul said? It was in the context of his thorn in the flesh, his physical ailment. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, the Lord has a purpose in making us weak in the weakness of our lives. You think of those words, my strength. Well, what strength was Paul talking about there? My strength is made perfect. He was talking about being strong in grace. Because remember, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So what does, or how does God make us strong in grace? Well, sometimes the process is he has to weaken us physically. And if you think of another question, why do we need to be strong in grace? Well, you have the answer to that in verse 3 of this chapter. The apostle says to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Maybe you're passing through a very hard time, or maybe there's people giving you a very hard time. Maybe you're passing through a period of great difficulty, an extreme period of trial as a child of God. Well, how do you cope with that hardness? How do you keep going? How do you keep standing as a believer in those circumstances? Well, what Paul's saying in verse 1 is the answer. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let me mention as well as the need to be strong. That's one characteristic of grace that should be in our lives. Think of supplicating about grace. In other words, praying. Remember that Paul and the other apostles, they did. They prayed about grace. We have their example in the Word of God. The New Testament is full. There are many examples of in the New Testament of praying for grace. They prayed for others to have grace in their lives. Remember, that's what is known as interceding, not just praying for ourselves, praying for others. Praying for others to have the grace of God and to have it abundantly in their lives. Think of the words of what we generally call the doxology. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Did you ever notice, ever stop to think, even when those words are being repeated in the meeting so often, it's a prayer. It's a prayer for God's people. It's a prayer that's offered sometimes generally for congregations such as this of God's people. And it's a prayer that Christians would know the grace of God. Remember that it's a general prayer that is often prayed. That emphasizes just how much we need that grace, and it emphasizes how much we need to pray for it. Can I remind you that it's a mark of Paul's letters. It's one of the things that is highlighted if you study the epistles of the New Testament scriptures and the authorship of those books. The books being closed with the words, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, or words similar to that. That's a mark of Paul's letters. That's one of the evidences that's set forth as to why it is believed that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Because that book closes just in the same manner as all the other letters that Paul penned that are known to have come from the pen of Paul comes to a conclusion. So think of that. Every letter, basically every letter Paul wrote, this is the way he closed it, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with you all. That's a reminder, brethren and sisters, that's a prayer that we need to pray continually. He's setting us an example there. Don't miss that. The fact that it's repeated so often in the New Testament, he's setting us an example very clear example. Here's a constant prayer that we need to pray as the Lord's people. Not only do you find that prayer at the end of some of the epistles, you find it at the beginning as well. When he was writing to the Galatians, he said, "Grace be unto you." When he wrote the personal letter to his close friend Philemon, "Grace to you." So I encourage you, remember what I said earlier, it was no exaggeration. The New Testament is full of such prayers, examples of praying that others would know the grace of God. You know, sometimes people wonder, if I pray in the prayer meeting, what should I pray? What could I pray about? Well, there's a good example. Pray that others, maybe in trial or in sickness, that they will know and experience God's grace. Think of Peter. Peter did the same in his epistles. Very interesting, the words that Peter uses. He said, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Isn't there times we think that our trials and our tribulations have multiplied? Well, God's grace and peace can be multiplied to you as well. It's not very encouraging this morning. You need more grace. You need it in large measures. Well, here's what God can do. His grace unto you and peace can be multiplied. When you're passing through trials, your fears and your worries increase as well. Well, as in addition to multiplying his grace to you, God can multiply his peace to you as well. So what a prayer, brethren and sisters. What a blessing that is. So I want to encourage you to look for those prayers as you read through the New Testament. And I want to encourage you to pray those prayers. Follow the example that is set for us. Pray for others, that they will know and have the grace of God in their lives. Believers in trouble, believers being persecuted, what can you do to help and support them? We'll pray that they will have, supplicate that they will have God's grace. And the same is true of ourselves. How do you get the grace of God in your life? How do you get to be strong in grace? Remember what we've been emphasizing in the first point. How do we get to be strong? How do we have that strength of grace in our lives? Will you pray for it? You ask the Lord for it. Sometimes in services you hear mention made of the means of grace. The means of grace are those things the Lord uses to bring his grace to us in salvation. Primarily the word of God and prayer. But the means of grace also includes the grace of God, just not in conversion, but in sanctification as well. As God gives us grace as his people to continue in the Christian life and to become more like Christ. So how do you get the grace of God in your life? How do you get more of his grace? You pray for it. You ask for it. Think of that lovely verse that we're so familiar with, Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And why do you come boldly to the throne of grace? Why do you pray? To obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have not because we ask not. We don't have the grace that we need to live for the Lord in these days. Or we don't have the grace of God about our lives that we should, because we don't pray for it. We don't ask for it as we should. So pray for grace, brethren and sisters. If you need it today, well, it's yours for the asking. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you'll obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. A third characteristic I'll emphasize, as well as being strong and supplicating, think of the spreading of grace. Grace should spread. Or if I could put it this way, grace should increase in your life. When Peter was bringing his second epistle to a close, he said we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Something that's growing is spreading. It's something that is developing. And I want to emphasize to you today that the Christian should grow, should develop in the grace of God in their lives. Do you ever notice that? Ever realize that? Appreciate that? Here's something the Lord is looking for. You're to grow in grace. You're to grow in your knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're not to be content with where you are. You're not to stand still. You're not to stay where you are. The Lord's looking for progress. We're always to be abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's especially to be true of grace. Think of those words. Peter says, grow in grace. Grace should spread. It should increase greatly in every one of our lives. The reality is this, if I could sum it up like this, there should be more of God's grace in your life today than there was the day that you were converted. There should be more of God's grace in your life today than there was at the end of last year. In fact, there should be more of God's grace in your life today than there was last Sabbath. Because the idea is that continual growing and developing of grace in our lives. So ask yourself, is that the case? If it's not, then something is wrong in your walk with God, in your spiritual experience. It's strange, as Christians we can be less gracious, maybe more grumpy. We can be less gracious, maybe more critical of others. The Savior, the Bible says of him, he was full of grace and truth. So if we're more like Christ, and remember that's what sanctification is all about, becoming more like Christ, that we decrease and he increases. So if we're more like Christ, there'll be more of his grace. We'll be full of grace, or more full of grace day by day and week by week. So that's something you need to ponder. Is that the case in your life? We sang the words earlier in the meeting. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show. Is that what happens? Is that how you live? Every day you live? Every year you live? Is there more of his grace shown, seen in your life by those that you meet? The longer you're a Christian, the more of his grace there should be seen and evident in the life that you live. The final one, just quickly, is speaking with grace. Maybe here's one of the greatest challenges of all. Paul, when he was writing to the Colossian believers, chapter 4, verse 6, said, let your speech be with grace. What a challenge. Gracious words. To speak with grace. To speak in what we sometimes describe as a gracious way. A gracious manner. Isn't it true? Even in our dealings with each other, we can often be harsh, sharp, nasty, hurtful, vindictive in the words we use, the speech that we use, the things that come from our lips. How sad that is, brethren and sisters. The Word of God says of the Savior, when he was at Nazareth, it emphasizes the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. There's no doubt that refers to the message that he was bringing. He would have been preaching the gospel of the grace of God. But there's also a clear emphasis there upon the way, the manner in which he spoke, the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Are we like that, brethren and sisters? Speak with grace. Use gracious terms, gracious words and sentences. Even when we witness, even when we preach the gospel, sometimes we're hard and we're harsh. I'm sure we've all heard people presenting the gospel in a way that causes us to shudder, telling somebody that they're going to hell in a heartless manner. Hard, harsh, no grace. Remember what Paul said, we're to speak the truth. But he emphasized the way in which we were to speak the truth. We're to speak the truth in love. When you're telling somebody that they're lost and going to a lost eternity, we should do it in the manner that they know that it's breaking our heart. Something that we're deeply burdened about. Speak the truth in love. Remember, always remember in your witness for Christ that how you say something is every bit as important as what you say. The way you say it is every bit as important. One of the greatest contradictions that can be found in this world and be found in Christian circles is to speak of God's grace in a manner that is cold and arrogant and not gracious in the least manner. That'll not draw anyone. That sort of testimony will not have an impact. It will not draw anybody along to church services or draw them to the things of God or to Christ in salvation. So our speech should be marked, or our words should be marked as well, by the grace of God. So here's something, brethren and sisters, of the grace of God in the life of the Christian. I emphasize it, I sum it up like this: let people see. That's what's needed. Let people see the grace of which we speak. That they shouldn't just know the grace of God because we talk about it. They should also see it in our walk, in our behavior, in our conduct as we deal with them day by day. Speak of God's grace with your life as well as speaking of it with your lips. And I'll finish with this. I encourage you to read biographies. It's good to read of the servants of God that have been used. Learn of their experiences. Learn of the grace of God that they experienced and proved. Some of them in very extreme circumstances. And not just the grace of God for living, but the grace of God for dying too. There's not just grace to live. There's grace to die. Some of you have known that as you've sat at the bedside of a loved one. And the reality is, if your life is full of grace, then so too will be your death. If you have known this grace, and if you've known plenty of that to be strong in grace as you've lived, then it will be the same when you come to die as well. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're going to sing of that a little as we finish. 458. Hymn 458. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy, to multiplied trials his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary, known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. There's just two verses. It's the hymn 458. And we'll stand as we sing, please.
hearts together in prayer. Just remind the elders, all of the men, to wait. I'll not go down to the door this morning because of the meeting just with the men. Do remember, please, the meeting tonight. We encourage you all to come again for the ministry of God's Word and the Gospel. Heavenly Father, we praise thee for your grace. We thank you. We can say that we've experienced that amazing grace. We want to pray that we will be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask for more grace. We pray that we'll grow in grace. We pray that it will be evident at all around us of what the Lord has done in our lives. We want to pray, Father, that you'll help us to be gracious even in our fellowship and our conduct and our dealings the one with the other. And Lord, we're praying that some in this meeting, some even in the Sunday school this morning, some in the gospel service tonight, will come to Christ as a result of God's grace being made manifest in their life as well. Hear these are prayers. And Lord, we do ask now that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us all, for Jesus' sake. Amen.